The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com. And now it's time for the Mr. Nelson Show. Well, yes, this is the Mr. Nelson Show, episode 508. And as I'm sure anyone who's aware of me is also aware that I do a lot of shows with comedian Pat Dixon. And most notably, the New York City Crime Report, now at censored.tv. And if you're not a subscriber, you can head over there and subscribe and use the promo code PAT. By a staggering coincidence, is also the same spelling as Pat's name. That's right. And you can utilize that to get yourself a 10% discount on your subscription. And also inform the fine folks at censored.tv that you like Pat. Mm. And if you're already a subscriber and didn't use that promo because, the show wasn't available yet, you can still retroactively use it. Just simply go into your settings and apply it, and you get that discount. Mm, yes. So, there's that. And then there's he does shows for his locals page. And we did a show called Late as Fuck. Yeah, it's late AF for those pearl clutchers. And it was a lot of fun and everything. But ultimately, that kind of morphed into his YouTube show, the 11 o'clock show. And because it was on at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And that was encouraged and inspired by Kevin Brennan from MLC. And Pat decided to give it a go after having lost his original channel to shenanigans. The excuse YouTube gave was erroneous. And good luck trying to appeal things like that. Unless you know someone at Google or what have you, you're not getting your channel back. So he started the new one, P. Dixon, it was called. And started the show up, and I joined him when I could, time permitting, for that show that ran during the week. Typically, he would take Sundays off, I believe. And it was a lot of fun and everything. And on top of all that, it was growing. It grew very fast, and he was making pretty good bank off of the Super Chats. And then this week, it got completely nuked. It's gone. The official excuse was circumvention. meaning that, he was deceptive and that they'd already nuked the channel and here he started another one. Well, that's interesting because you would have thought he would have been canceled earlier on when he set up the channel, of course, and then got monetized rather quickly and all that, and was being paid by YouTube, but they never noticed. So odds are, somebody complained about it who doesn't like him. I mean, that's the speculation and suspicion. And considering there's a lot of credibility to the theory, if you will. And so that's that, you know. I mean, it would have been better if he'd just been denied at the get-go, you know. So all that's gone. The show itself, A Pat Dixon Show, continues on Rumble. So you can head over to Rumble /user/ PatDixon.com. I believe that's how the address goes. And he does his show there. I'm sure it'll be relatively the same thing. I'll participate when available. Yeah. So let me check again. Yes, Rumble/user/ Pat Dixon, and you can head over there follow and also join his locals page, New York's NYC Crime Report .locals.com, and all that good stuff. Plus, he can have his live streams on censored.tv as well. Just started doing that, and don't know if that'll be simultaneous or what have you, but nevertheless, you can catch it there as well. It's just, And it just comes out of this back and forth within the comedian verse, where they lash out at each other. Used to be a tradition of busting balls and stuff, but now it's gotten very, very serious and petty and ridiculous. So it's a long-winded thing. And I don't know, maybe at a later date revisit it, but it's a part of an example of something that just keeps occurring in different worlds that I pay attention to. So in the comedian thing, there's what's called the dabble verse, which primarily is making fun of Stuttering John, which, you know, there's funny moments in it, but it was initially funny when it started. And to me, I'm done. I've been done with it for a long time because it's basically, hey, look, Stuttering John is stupid. Yes. Oh, and after a while, it's like your favorite meal is no longer your favorite meal if you eat it every night, you know. And how many times can you tell a joke? And granted, there's different events and stuff that'll occur. This last Christmas, it was funny seeing him live streaming from his mom's house and stuff, you know, stuff like that. But good Lord, this goes around. There's wars erupting with Kevin Brennan and Shuley and Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. I've never fully understood. I don't understand. I don't know the full stories behind it all. Shuley apparently was present when Gino Bisconti revealed Kevin Brennan's personal phone number. He should not have done that. And going on about he reveals his own is not, doesn't mean anything. And so I guess that was the beginning of the animosity between the two, or maybe there was a history before. I don't know. As far as Who Are These Podcasts, I guess they did a show on Kevin and Kevin didn't like it, whatever. I don't know. It's a bit much overall. He had some grievances, sure. Him and Bob Levy split up. Levy went with Shuley. He's never forgiven him for it. They had this incident in Atlantic City where Bob threw his drink at Kevin. All this stuff. I don't know. And I just don't want to be in it. You know, it's too much of this crap. And it's the same thing ad nauseum. Pat can't do Kevin Brennan's show anymore because apparently if you have him on your channel, YouTube will punish you for that too, I guess. I don't know. But it's all very nasty and not very stable to, you know, plant your stakes somewhere, you know, and that's a problem. But that's the comedian world. Comic books, there's Ethan Van Sciver versus Eric July. I can see a lot of the points Ethan has made. Certainly when it comes to criticizing Eric's comic books, he's got a lot of credible points there. I've bought those comics. They were lacking in quite a bit. His best output was a comic book called Alpha Corps. That was written by Chuck Dixon, so go figure. The art was much better than the Isom books. And now he's got a fourth one coming. But a lot of attention on Eric July's comics came because he makes $1 million each one, each campaign he does to crowdfund. And so all of a sudden, Dick Masterson's zeroing in on him, and this blew up into a thing. In some instances, you can make an argument that Eric overreacted to some of that. But on the other hand, he's the target of it. And this weirdo goes to his grandfather's grave and mocks it and then goes to his warehouse to leave stickers on his door. And certainly him bringing up stand your ground laws and stuff like that was a bit much on Eric's part. And I don't think that would have applied in the scenario as he seemed to think. But other than that, Eric July's done a lot of great work, and he has a following based on his political views and his work with The Blaze and his own channel on that, and his critiques of a lot of things. Do I think he's ready for prime time as a comic book writer? No, I do not. That can change. I'm buying his third Isom book, and hopefully third time's the charm for the overall story. It's a bit scattered and not very cohesive, to put it simply. And perhaps the third book rounds it out and it pays off. But each book, I would think, would need to have more of its own, standing alone on its own, and still be a part of a larger story. But there's a way to weave that, and I don't think he achieved that. But best of luck to him. He's very impressive, and I think he'll persevere. Ethan Van Sciver takes things a lot very personally, and of course, he's a stellar artist, hands down. And he's done a lot of great work in the anti-woke movement himself, quite thoroughly. And he's very successful in his independent projects with Cyberfrog and whatnot. And I'm really looking forward to his Rainbow Brute comic. That might even be better. Came out of a joke, but still, and all that. But it's just like, it's weird that you have two guys that for the most part are in agreement on quite a few things and just now bitterly hate each other over not a whole lot. Unless I'm missing something, I don't know, but I quickly bailed on the whole thing. It's like, all right, enough already. A criticism of technique and whatnot of the books themselves is fair play. If you got a problem with that, that's too bad. That's fair play. And, if you're in there, good enough, But it doesn't end there. Then, of course, the political realm, which, that's baked in, no matter what era you're living in. Matt Walsh weighed in on the video game world. And lately there's with the Suicide Squad game came about, and the people behind it are, complete woke cultists. And then there's videos of some other people going on about how you just admitting to you blatantly use extortion to shake down corporations, and which is what's happened over the era. And that played a big role into that, where you have, Batman being murdered by Harley Quinn because that's some sort of justice. I mean, in the storyline, Batman's mind controlled and all that. But any kind of concept like that, and in this late date after the woke era, was not going to go over well. It was very foolish for Warner Brothers to back that. But they did, for the same reasons that a lot of these projects were backed. What have you, but the overall view from Matt Walsh, who openly and admitted that he has no interest in video games, he thinks they're stupid, and all of that. But the points was being made about, and he acknowledged that its reach is far beyond movies and music industry, and so it's significant in that aspect of it, and that one, as with everything else, it been wokeified, and all this stuff was going on, and it's detrimental, certainly to children, who are drawn to the medium. And yet all these YouTubers who are in agreement with that just lashed out at him because he doesn't respect nerd culture. Well, so what? The point was the propaganda and brainwashing crap that goes on from these entities. And there's no disagreement there, but it was just like, well, you're late to the game. Gamergate is like 10 years old now and all that. It's just, multiple channels making a big deal. They're doing, a couple of them did live streams. It was like 2 hours on it. And a couple of them did one guy and then did a 40-minute speech about it. That's stupid. And it's like, it's getting to the point where the anti-woke have made a bubble of their own. You're starting to sound a lot like SJW. I mean, to be that upset over really nothing. Now, granted, a lot of this is like, hey, it's like a trend, so it's good for the channel and stuff. But then that's admitting that it's really meaningless. It's tawdry. So it's all unseemly. And I don't know, but there is that aspect of it, like it's good for your channel or something like that. But at the same time, it's weird how this keeps happening in multiple venues or cliques or what have you. And it's like, is there a new virus pandemic going on that makes this happen? But it begs the question of how devoted are you to philosophical points of import and criticisms that went against the group, rightfully so, and still stands, and yet tend to mimic those attributes in the end. That's not good, and that's what I suspect here on multiple occasions. And it's something to be aware of and try to avoid that. You know? But, you know, probably won't happen. I've never been interested in a right-wing version of SJWs. I don't want to see that. Because it's just like, what's the point? Why don't you just join Antifa or join the Democrats, you know? You know, if that's what you want to do. Because in some instances, I think a lot of this stuff about cancel culture and stuff like that, people who were criticizing at the same time, kind of sounds like you're just jealous you don't have that power. So that's my take on it at the moment. But beyond other factors that I'm unaware of, that's where I leave it at the moment. So there you go. I got a new Bugman episode and some Nelson news for you. And we'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Mr. Nelson Show here on RadioMisfits.com. This is a Nelson News Bulletin. A former middle school principal pleaded guilty to federal charges connected with the murder-for-hire shooting death of a pregnant teacher with whom he was having an affair. Hello, I'm Mr. Nelson. Yes, Cornelius Green pled guilty to murder-for-hire and conspiracy to commit murder-for-hire in federal court for the 2016 shooting death of Jocelyn Peters, an elementary school teacher. Both prosecutors and the defense attorneys reportedly agreed on terms of a life sentence for Green, but he will be formally sentenced at a later date. Green is also facing murder and other charges on a state level, but prosecutors will drop the charges if he gets life in prison. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Missouri indicted Green, an alleged co-conspirator, Philip Cutler, on March 9th. Green, who was married, reportedly had an ongoing romantic relationship with Peters. And in 2015, she got pregnant. Wonder how that happened. The attorney's office said between February 29th, 2016, and October 11th, 2016, Green devised a plan to murder Peters and her unborn child. Part of the plan allegedly involved paying Cutler to kill Peters. On March 7th, 2016, Green sent Cutler $2,500 via UPS to an address in Oklahoma. Cutler allegedly traveled to St. Louis on March 21st. 2016, and stayed at Green's house. Green reportedly went to Chicago the next day to distance himself from the homicide. 3 days after arriving on March 24, 2016, Cutler allegedly drove to Peter's apartment in Green's car, broke in, and fatally shot her in the head. He used a potato as a silencer. Green went to Peters' apartment the same day and called police. Peters was about 7 months pregnant when she was killed. Well, if he didn't want a bun in the oven, he shouldn't have put his junk in said oven. But a potato? Huh. Yeah, that's a new one. This has been a Nelson News Bulletin.
Man.
that amazing weird figure of the night at last takes under his protective mantle an ally in his relentless fight against crime. Introducing in this episode, a young daredevil who scoffs at danger as he too will become a creature of the night, or rather, a critter of the night. It's a lovely evening in Gothic City, where at the fairgrounds, people can enjoy Miracle Melvin's Wonder Show, where there's plenty of games, acrobatic shows, clowns, carnival rides, and all sorts of entertainment. But our scene finds herself in the restroom, where a menacing meeting meets.
Now come on, Miracle Melvin, you gonna get smart and give us a cut or not?
It's gonna have to be a nut. I'm done with you.
Oh boy, that's the thanks we get when our construction company provided you the material and manpower to set up your gig.
If I'd have known what this was all about, I never would have hired him. But they were paid in full, and that's the end of it.
It ain't the end of it until the boss says it's the end. Now come on, Melvin, calm down! Clear your head and think straight. We're offering you a great deal on our insurance. Guaranteed to provide you with insurance against, accidents.
Yeah, accidents!
You racketeering bastards! Get off of my property! And you can tell your boss Buttle that if I see him or any of his goons, I'll call the law on him.
Well, we tried. Now, whatever happens, Melvin, just remember, we warned you.
No, they wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare. Bumpfinger?
Oh, hey, Melvin.
Well, I didn't know you were in there. Did you overhear the conversation?
Not really, Melvin. I was pretty busy. Man, I gotta tell you, those chili dogs of yours went right through me.
Woo! Oh, yeah,
But hey, word of advice, the next time you gotta conduct business with some busybody salesman, do it in a real office, not in the men's room, because I prefer peace and quiet when I'm, busy with that.
Oh, well, yeah.
See you around, Melvin. Gotta get back to the lady.
Jeez, I hope she doesn't want to go on any more rides, because, I might have to blow what's left of the chili dog out the other end.
Bob! Over here, Bob!
Oh, hey, Nikki.
Well, it's about damn time.
Hey, look, I would have been out sooner, but these assholes were in there yapping it up and makes it hard for me to concentrate. And I need concentration to, get my guts to cooperate and open all the valves.
Oh, gross! Gosh, one of those assholes came out here and pinched me on the ass!
Really?
Damn it, Bob, that's not funny! It's assault!
Well, what do you expect? I mean, you walk around in those yoga pad leggings that ride up the crack of your ass, that's gonna draw the pervs out from every nook and cranny.
Oh my God, Bob!
All right. Look, I'll win you a teddy bear from one of these games here. Let's see. What's this one? Dunk Wild Boy. Alright, I'll take a shot at this one.
And at that moment, within the trailer that's behind the Dunk Wild Boy gaming booth...
Come on, Dick, hurry up and dry off and get in a clean costume so you can get back out there so they can drop your ass in the water.
Yeah, Daddy! Bad enough, I'm freezing wearing this stupid Tarzan outfit. But then when they drop me in the water, I freeze my bones. I'm gonna end up catching the pneumonia.
It's pneumonia, you dumb idiot.
Pneumonia? It's got a P in the word. I seen it written out.
The P's silent, stupid.
What? Then why put the P there in the first place?
Because they... Hell, I don't know. What am I, a doctor? If I was a doctor, you think I'd be stuck in this goddamn Cardi business? Oh, jeez.
Dick, where the hell are you, Dick?
I'm over here, mommy.
Well, get your bony ass in that tank, you little idiot.
Yeah, mommy, why you gotta be so mean?
No, goddammit, don't start the waterworks. It'll make all your wild boy makeup run off your face. Now do like your mama told you and get your ass in that tank.
Oh, for God's sakes, Dick, stop being a little pussy and nut up.
God damn it, Betty. Get out there and shake your glittery ass. I'll put Dick in the tank.
Well, you better, because we got customers waiting.
All right, Dick, let's go. Hey, who the hell are you and what are you doing here?
Nothing. I dropped my cigarette lighter and I was looking for it. Oh, there it is. All good. Have a good night.
Goddamn weirdo. Everywhere you go. All right, get up in there.
Oh, man, the seat's still cold.
Shut up. All right, folks, step right up. Step right up and take a shot at Dunking Wild Boy. Come on, who's going to take a shot? How about you, sir? You want to take a shot at Wild Boy?
Yeah, I might as well. I've been waiting to do so for about 15 minutes.
Well, here's your chance. You pieces. All right, take a shot, sir.
And so, Bob Finger, who is in reality Bugman, in a desperate attempt to win back the favor of his date, girl reporter Nikki Nail, he, at $5 per three balls, takes his shot at sinking Wild Boy. The first toss, and he misses. The second toss, and he misses. The third toss, and he misses again. And so he pays for another three balls. First shot, he misses. Second shot, he misses again.
You ain't gonna get me, you fatty.
Oh, you got it, but oh my God, the whole tank is collapsing.
I didn't throw it that hard.
Oh, hell, it shot Dick right across the eye.
Damn it. Oh, man, the whole thing's broken down. And water's getting everywhere, ruining my best boots. That little shit broke the tank. I'm gonna tan his hide. Dick, get over here, you little bastard. Get over here right now. I'm gonna.
Oh my God, they're being electrocuted. Right in front of their child.
And worst of all, right in front of me. Oh, all the stench.
Oh, there goes the rest of the chili dog.
Later, after the smoke has cleared and the fire department and police officials have arrived on the scene.
Damn, Nikki, how many ghoulish pictures do you have to take?
It's my job, Bob.
Your job to take pictures of barbecued corpses?
Oh, my God. I can't believe they did it.
Huh? Oh, hey, Melvin. God. Jeez, tough night, huh?
Oh, Bob, never mind. I gotta go.
What's eating him, I wonder?
Bob? Are you by any chance Bob Finger?
Huh? Why, yes, I am.
Well, the lady's asking for you.
Lady? What lady?
The one that just got electrocuted.
She's still alive?
Not for very long. So you better hurry up, because she's been asking for you by name.
Bob, how do you know this woman?
I don't know. I don't think so. Well, let me see here. Wait a minute. She does look familiar. She... Good Lord. That's Betty Hutsquat.
Betty who?
Betty Hutsquat. She was my babysitter when I was but a child. Betty. Betty, take it easy now. Can you hear me? It's me, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, that's right.
Bob.
Yeah, that's me. No, man.
Ugh. Dick.
Huh? What?
Dick!
Just what kind of relationship did you have with your babysitter?
What? Come on, I was eight, jeez.
Later, after the police have gotten statements from all the gathered witnesses,
Oh, well, I guess it's not a total loss, at least not for you, Nikki.
What?
Well, come on, you got the exclusive on this freak accident story.
Except it wasn't a freak accident.
Huh? Oh, Harry.
Who?
Oh, well, this is Police Captain Harry Thines, an old pal of mine.
Oh, right. Well, Captain Thines, what did you mean this wasn't a freak accident?
Our investigation shows that the tank was sabotaged.
Sabotaged?
Rigged to electrocute anyone who's in contact with the wire. Seems the boy just got lucky when he was thrown clear of the scene.
If you can call being orphaned luck...
Sabotage means murder.
Well, yeah. By the way, speaking of orphan, we managed to wake up a judge tonight and fast-track the paperwork, so you can take Dick Sprung home tonight.
What? Wait a minute, how the hell did this happen?
Oh, I thought you knew. Well, during our investigation and interviewing the other employees, it appears Betty Hotsquite's husband was not the father of Dick Sprung, but rather the late Rod Finger, I believe. Your father, Bob. It appears Dick Sprung is your half-brother.
What? Whoa, what a strange turn of events. One wonders what other twists can be on the way. Perhaps we'll find out in the next exciting episode of Bugman.
Bugman was written, produced, and performed by me, Douglas Nelson. Music came courtesy of Kevin MacLeod and other public domain sources. This is a Nelson News Bulletin.
Woman jumped through her window to escape naked intruder.
Hello, I'm Mr. Nelson.
A Texas woman described the harrowing series of events after she went to her home to find a naked man smoking drugs after ransacking her belongings. Austin police said that a SWAT team had to respond to her home after 44-year-old Larry Robinson broke in. Elena Duguay said that she had returned home from visiting her husband, when she realized someone had trashed the house. Her guard dogs were barking and foaming at the mouth. That's when she found Robinson, allegedly naked, with a drug pipe and a lighter. I guess I hadn't heard him come in, she said, because he didn't have shoes on or any other clothes. So I saw him and was obviously startled and just kind of froze there, she said. She told him to leave her home, but he didn't respond. He didn't have any real reaction. He seemed almost like he wasn't even there. There's no better word for it than he was out of his mind. She said that the man started to smoke from the pipe again, so she took the opportunity to call 911. But the call was cut off. She decided to make a run for a window, but she was unable to open it. That's when Robinson hit her with a dog crate that was on the floor. He basically slammed me against the wall with the crate, and it cut my leg, Duguay said. She said the man walked around the house, and she thinks one of their dogs bit him because he cursed at the dog. Then he turned his attention back to her in the living room. I just remember, that was my one moment of panic, she said. She then jumped out of the window backward and waited for the police to arrive. When she told them that there were loaded weapons in the home, they called in the SWAT team. Robinson was arrested after a 90-minute standoff. While I think I may be handling it pretty well, there's a lot under the surface that is going to take some time to repair, Duguay said. The man is facing burglary charges. Duguay says that she found urine in her front hallway and feces in her bathtub. That's not where that goes. Anyway, they are waiting for their homeowner's insurance claim to be processed and have set up a GoFundMe account to help pay for the damage from the bizarre incident. Elected officials defunded the police department in Austin in 2020 by millions of dollars. But voters later approved a proposition to fund more police officers. So, poo-poo in the bathtub. You know, odds are her dogs are more properly potty trained than the intruder.
This has been a Nelson News Bulletin.
The views and opinions expressed during the Mr. Nelson Show do not necessarily reflect those held by RadioMisfits.com. So, any complaints and or comments should be sent to @MrNelson on Twitter, where they will be promptly ignored and or blocked.